Take your seats. Take your seats. Time to get this show on the road.
Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters around me do roll, they're rocking my boat and wrecking my soul. Loved ones are drifting and living in sin, the treacherous whirlpools are pulling them in. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat in safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome water, I'm fearing no more. When troublesome waters are rolling so high, I'll lift up my voice and to heaven I'll cry, my Lord, I am trusting, give guidance to me and steady my boat on life's troubled sea. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Hey, I'm Bob Garrity, and welcome to the Watchman Live with my co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. This is show number 3. How's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, fine, thank you.
I'm good.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. A lot of what we're telling the listener is kind of compiled, and we haven't been wrapping up the show, so to speak, in terms of letting the listener go back to the studies. We have study notes for Bill's Matthew 24, and everything that we are telling you, the audience, can be confirmed on your own due diligence as to the current events, and especially the studies. The studies are very important so that we relay to you the truth. It is woe unto us if we do not tell you the truth. You guys have anything for that?
Well, I feel like we're maybe a second or third generation here with, you know, this understanding with the metaphoric language, the spiritual overlay that Sue and Randy have done. You know, 5 years of intense study that has just been an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, somewhere along the line when I was in the middle of studies, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. This is big. And I've told Randy, I think this is as significant a thing in God's plan as the King James and the 1611 printing press. I really do, because, I mean, these are the end days. And there has been a famine on the land for many years. And you know, people are just crying out. Well, they don't realize it because they're just so trapped in the matrix, but they are just crying out for a depth of study that just hasn't been there. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of this. Seeing these doors open for this show, I'm just so blessed by it. You know, I got a vision for this show, you know, a year ago, and to see it come to fruition has just been such a thrill. And just glad to be here, that's all.
Brother Bill, what do you, what's your view on this?
Oh, I feel pretty much the same way. A lot of this stuff has been unlocked here in the end times and, you know, for God's purposes. He's ready to move now, and you know, we have to be very careful and very patient that he is speaking through us, and we're not deceived. And you know, I pray every day not to be deceived. It's right in the Lord's Prayer, because the closer we get, the more the devil's going to try to come after us. So I pray not to be deceived, and we want to get the truth out, and we want to have our listeners verify these truths for themselves, and the Holy Spirit will come in and do this for you.
I agree. I'd like to just mention that we will have the Glossary of Metaphors by Sue Patterson and Randy Boggs will be on the links to the show notes. And we have a couple links, Edifying Sight from one of our group that we interact with. And we'd also like to put out a prayer out there for Scott Spanik, very, very good brother in the Lord.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Sick, and our prayers are with you, Scott.
And we love you, Brother Scott.
Now, we will go to current events. Chris, you got anything this week?
Well, we're just, you know, sitting here trying to figure out what's happening in the Gulf. I just popped on the Internet a little bit yesterday just digging. And, you know, there are just some pictures that are just awful. And, you know, it just... It really shook me. It really shook me up. And you know, we don't know what's happening there. This is why it's so hard to say anything, because there's just so much information. You know, 9/10 of it is disinformation, but it's big. All I know for sure is it's big, and the event, and then what it's going to allow these globalists to do. Their agenda is just going to ramp up because of this. The control grid will continue to lock down. And the other news article that caught my eye was, there was a article about the government taking more control of the media. And I had a laugh. It's like, you know, what's new? But, you know, it's in the news that they're working towards doing that. It's just... more progression, but you know, as we say, you know, our theme here, our foundational beliefs here, is that we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's just you know, we've got to just stay on the course set before us and not let that stuff mess with our head, because boy, it sure can. You know, you can just get so worked up over this stuff at times, but it's not what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to live that way, because you know, fear is unbelief. And you know, the truth is, these doom and gloom scenarios actually edify me. I mean, because I know that you know, my hope isn't in this world. my hope is in the Lord, and I know that these events are for the unbelievers. And as we said before, that some are going to get pushed further away from the Lord and get angry and rebel, and some are going to get drawn to the Lord through these events, these birth pangs that are leading up to what we believe is the multitude, the man-child, the birth of the man-child, which is, we agree here that these events, the spiritual prophecies, the spiritual manifestations have pretty much all happened. And really the only thing that we see left is the waking up of the multitude that can't be numbered. I mean, there's a great white heart. There's a harvest coming. And we just found ourselves in Scripture as the barley harvest, the first fruits. And we're crackpots now and, ostracized and not accepted and hated for Jesus' sake. But we know that's going to change. We know that there's going to be a time when the multitude does see what's really happening. And the Lord's going to wake them up, and it's exciting. And that's where our sights are set.
Bill, how about you?
Yeah, I kind of see it maybe as in the calm of the storm right now, or the eye of the hurricane. The lies are getting so bad that eventually, yes, the multitudes are going to start seeing you're not going to be able to hide the lies anymore.
That's right.
They're trying to hide the unemployment figures, for example, telling you it's around 10%. And the formula for that has been adjusted down through the years. If we were in 1933 right now, they'd be telling you somewhere between 25 and 30% unemployment. And during Jimmy Carter's administration, they were able to skew that and pass laws and, mix different parts of the economy together to show a lesser unemployment and skew other figures as well. And then again, in the Clinton era, this was done again. So, we have basically an unemployment figure of 10%, which in reality is 25%. And when you get down to real realities, what percent of that is even productivity? There's two ways of making a living or earning a living today. And one is either you earn your living politically connected or you earn your living non-politically connected. And the non-politically connected are the ones actually paying for everything.
Well, I'll continue on with week three of Just All Bad from the Gulf. And our prayers are with everyone in the Gulf. It's an abomination what's happening to you, that they were allowed to do that. But they may be vessels of wrath. And, you're going to have to realize wherever you're at that you have to have some understanding about these things in terms of prophetic spiritual prophecy. We have lost an ocean. The fiberglass boats that are being used there are going to be shredded. The oil and the chemical mixtures are eating up the boats, so they're unseaworthy. And I'm not sure about the steel vessels, but you've lost an ocean. All the fish and all the wildlife are dead. You have boats that are going to be shredded. So that's biblical prophecy fulfilled as far as losing two-thirds of an ocean, and we haven't had a storm go through, but I want you to pay attention to this as far as the listener is concerned. We're watching this specifically because these events are happening in our generation. And in our generation, we're told to be aware of these events and to apply them to what we know to be the biblical truths. So I have a link that's on that'll be posted on the show notes of a news story that didn't get much attention, but the woman reporter went to seven different sites, and it was very telling when she went to a site where a child was digging a hole on the beach, and she took water samples, and she was showing the water samples. They took it to a chemist, and the water sample that was tested, it exploded in the beaker. Now that's a 30-year chemist telling you that I've never seen anything like it, and the problems that are there that are not being told. We're told it's seeping at 40,000 psi pounds per square inch. Nothing is seeping. It's being totally destroyed, whatever it is. You can think of it as a inner tube with a valve, and the valve is leaking, so you can't keep the tire inflated. But if you look on the other side of the tire, it's shredded. So it's not very good. We are not fearmongers, and we're not doomsayers. And we don't want you to fear this. You only fear the Lord in looking at this. And you look at it as a as an event that needs to be addressed. It needs to be in your prayers. And if you're in the Gulf, please, please address your safety, long-term safety. It's a very hard decision, but I promise you, if you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King in the flesh, you will have answers. You will know what to do, because you are the children of the Lord. With that, Bill, on the unemployment figures, if they're fudging the unemployment figures, we are looking at revenue streams from the taxes being unattainable. About any projections.
Right. Yeah. The few that are left working are going to, obviously they're going to be taxed more and more and more. Now they're starting to cut off these extended unemployment benefits, so that's going to have an effect on the economy. They just skew all of the numbers. The loss of jobs, we've had a continuous loss of jobs for the last 2 years, going back to when that first fall was in 08, maybe of 750,000 jobs a month, and that's been continuous.
And yes. They're not coming back.
Right, they're not coming back, no. It might even be close to 1 million jobs a month. You could be talking somewhere from 20 to 30 million jobs lost. And how are you going to? You just can't restore economy without jobs. I think that they're trying to keep it undercover pretty much until this election, and I kind of expect to see a lot of things happening after the election. I'm thinking that the stock market may be going for a huge losses after the election, maybe back down to 5,000. It's getting to where it's going to get real hard for them to start hiding things.
Yeah.
I agree. And you, the listener, to confirm these things, ask your friends. Ask your friends how many people they know that are out of work. And if you get a tally of 10 people you asked, you should come up with three or four that are out of work. And that'll confirm what we're saying. These things are true.
That also includes the fact that, even the ones that have work have been cut back, too.
Yeah.
If your hours have been cut or you've got to go out and get a second job, which may not even be available, that's part of the job loss, too, that's not calculated into the figures.
But we're just competing on a global market with somebody that's willing to work, 12 hours a day for $2, and that's the thing.
That's what all these free trade agreements were about.
Yeah.
I don't think they're willing to work for $2. They're made to work for
$2. Well, right. Yeah.
They're enslaved.
They're enslaved, yeah. Well, that's what this is. It's just
and slavery. Then they have the the intellectual version of this that they try to sell the people on is called global competitiveness.
Yeah.
It's not like the world where my father came from, where there was jobs and plenty of opportunities, and a man could raise a house, raise a family in a house and have a car and some type of life. They didn't have all the wants that we have in this generation, and that's one of the problems of this generation, is we've got way more wants than they did. But nonetheless, the father could raise the family and from a financial perspective, and the mother was there to nurture and take care of the family rather than to throw them off into these daycares and institutions run by the state. And
another beast system layer.
Right, another B7. So they sold them on this term now, that global competitiveness. You know, it sounds really good on the surface, but what they're really saying is, let's just see how low we can drive the wages all around the world down to, you know, let's see how low we can get them all. And that's basically what global competitiveness is.
It's again, we don't spread fear. We're telling you the truth. These things are the events that are happening. We are the Joe Lunchbox crew that are sitting around and saying, yes, we have to do our due diligence to tell you this. So these are confirmed when we do current events. We just talked among ourselves in a pre-show and said, you know, we don't want you fearing because of this. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you fear the Lord. That is the start of wisdom. And we hope that we can edify you. We don't like to bring up the fear-mongering and the doomsday. But when we tell you you're in the eye of the storm, I can confirm that. And we don't have times when this is taking place, but the spiritual overlay that we're been working on sees all of these events happening. And when Chris and Bill were talking about that, we have looked at the spiritual, walking in the spirit and looking at a blueprint from the very simple metaphors, most of the prophecy has come through and it's been confirmed.
That's true. The world, in a sense of the church, physical prophecies that everybody's afraid of, they've all already happened. You know, the mark of the beast has been here.
The spirit of the Antichrist has already entered the temple.
The plumb line's already been laid.
Yeah.
And the mark of the beast is already in the temple. They're waiting on a seven-year treaty fantasy scripture written up
Fable.
For them.
Fable. Second Timothy fable, yeah, it's not going to happen.
And even if it does happen, it doesn't mean anything anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that's orchestrated, like the man behind the curtain.
And it's so dangerous because they're twisting scripture pertaining to the finished work of Christ. It's very dangerous. It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when you attribute the works of Satan to God.
That is blasphemy to the Holy Spirit, yes. And if you don't come out of that, that's the unpardonable sin.
That's when you don't wake up.
When
and come
you
out.
Continually to reject the love of the truth,
which is making lies your refuge, when lies are your security blanket, and that's what it's all going to get down to. It's not the fact that you're being deceived; it's the fact that you continue to be deceived when you hear the truth.
Yes.
Getting back a little bit to the. Just touching on the economy real quick again before we get too far away from the economy. The dry shipping index is just way back down again. And, of course, it's been down for 2 years. And now it's just about as low as, you know, that to me that's a huge indicator.
Yes, the Baltic dry index is as low as it's ever been.
And also the volume in the stock market has been very low for the last 2 years, year and a half. Since the crash when it went down to 6,400, and then it's come back, you know, just like in 1932 or whatever, it took a rise back to about 70% of what the high was, and that's about where we hit 11,000. And but during that whole period of time, the volume was just way down, way less than normal. So that tells you that really they're just buying up stocks. You know, the plunge protection team is just buying up stocks to hold this thing up. I think you're just holding it up till the election.
Well, I like to let the listener know most of those trades are computers. The volume is done by the top five banks. They'll take a stock, and they'll, in a microsecond, increase the value of that stock, sell that stock, and in a microsecond, do it over again and again and again and again. These are not traders on the floor that you see in Chicago and New York. These are computers off of a mainframe that are following pre-programmed DOS systems. It's complicated. To make a long story short, they're cheating.
Right. It'd be like a casino in Las Vegas who's under regulations by the state of Las Vegas and, you know, setting their roulette wheel or setting whatever to, you know, it's just a big casino that's cheating. And
they bought the whole state of Vegas.
I feel much safer gambling in the casinos than I would the stock market.
Yes. And again, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing this week. These truths are coming out slowly as far as information because the mainstream media doesn't want you to know this. They're owned by corporations that play both ends of the candle. And the goal, you know, Jesus was tempted in the temple by the devil. So the dragon is here. And the dragon is here running the whole show. And the whole world lies in wickedness. Except the servants, the prophets, and the sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you understand what we're talking about, we're trying to convey to the listener, it is time to do your own work. It is time to confirm these truths that we're giving you. The third day notes will be on Worthy Metaphors, and we have links to the archives, and we hope you download the archives and start listening to the shows. It's very important for you to show yourself approved.
It's very important.
Don't you think, gentlemen?
Oh, I agree
with that 100%. Because then, you know, when you get into scriptures, God's going to be, you know, we all have gifts from the Spirit. And God's even going to be showing everyone their own gifts, their own sights in there. They're going to see even more things. When I started into this and started following these patterns, and then God started showing me other things also, putting the dots together.
Seeking the truth.
You mentioned the devil on the temple. Well, he was sitting right on top of the temple. To me, that's a big signature that was his temple then.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it is
the whole world lies in wickedness right now, and it doesn't take you far from going out your own door and taking a look around. I don't judge anybody. I'm the agape guy. You know, I want to tell people, our listeners, I want to be the New York guy. I want to say, hey, get the hell out of your church before you die. And that's a spiritual death of a death sentence where you realize that, boy, if I'm judged, if Jesus comes like a thief in the night and I'm judged and my house is not in order, then Jesus is going to say, I knew you not. You know, do you get that as a listener that, hey, these are kind of perilous times here. You've lost an ocean. They're going to shred the boats. The fish are dead. The animals are dead. This is Bible prophecy we're talking about. And when you hear Chris and Bill confirming that, you know, your corporation church that it has a copyright on the Bibles you're reading is foretold in Scripture as the great falling away and the delusion, and we tell you that you're being led by a serpent that's controlling a scorpion metaphorically, and you're part of that congregation, and you're contributing to those activities of deception and idol worship, then I hope you confirm what we're saying. Gentlemen, anything to add to that? I just can't convey it enough to the listener. You know, get out of your church, take your 40 days, and confirm this yourselves.
And I feel it's very important to understand your identity and who you are in Christ. And we need to know who the Gentiles are, and we need to know who the Jews are. This is just a big state of confusion over this. If I was to go down the street at the local church when they were coming out, and if I was to ask them who the Gentiles are, that person would tell me, oh, well, I'm a Gentile. And Scripture tells you the opposite. The Gentiles are they uncircumcised? It's a circumcision of the heart now. And the Jews, as Paul has told us in Romans chapter 2, 28 and 9, that are those who are circumcised inwardly and of the heart. And those are the Jews. And because Jesus had the, he was the from the Jewish line, he had the seed last, and he plants the seed in your heart, why would you not be Jewish? But we're being deceived by them wanting to turn everything back to the flesh. That's the whole big game, is the flesh. If you see the flesh, you know they're lying to you. For instance, I have a note here. Just hold on. Why don't you pick up on that for a second, Chris?
Yeah, this is one of the main focal points of our study here. And as this show progresses, you know, we have vision for to continue on as long as the Lord will allow. But we see this malicious attack on our identity as Israel. Just the utter fact that we have to clarify Israel as spiritual Israel today, because there is so much confusion in this matter. And, you know, we're just making so many, you know, we've talked before. What are we? We're Joe Lunchboxes sitting around connecting the dots. That's all we're doing. We're just making the connections here that, you know, you might not have seen. And, you know, we're just picking up on something now with the way that the parallels for the 150 years before Christ, and what happened, you know, with the, you know, the rise of Esau, and you know, the Edomites, you know, taking control of Israel, and the parallels are just uncanny. Because I mean, it was the mid 1800s was when this thing really started locking down, when the you know, the Masons, you know, encouraged these false religions like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Schofield dispensational heresy, and it's all rooted in the same spirit, the same exact spirit that was rising at the time of Christ, and as we connect the dots, we make these distinctions with the corruption of the Scripture. Well, you know, the Scripture was corrupted before Christ. You know, the Talmudic writings of the Essenes. And as I say, I'm just going along too, learning, you know, myself. I've been fascinated by this subject since when I first learned about it, you know, 9 months ago, say. And, you know, the Lord's leading me, bringing clarity to me. And as it becomes clearer to me, you know, a week ahead of time, you know, we pass it along to you. And, you know, hopefully we'll just be in this together and see where the Lord takes us. But I think we're going to be able to map out these end times events to the point where, you know, we're just going to have the pulse of what's taking place. And, you know, we should probably put a link to this on the site, but there's a video floating around now. It was off of Kufi's website of, you know, Kufi has invaded the campuses now, and they've got these, you know, college students just brainwashed into supporting secular Israel. And it's just unbelievable. The, you know, the production, the money, you get to see the thing, you know, this oozing with money behind it. And you see this happening. And as this thing continues to rise, this is the indicator. I mean, this is the indicator of where we are. And if we are in the eye of the storm, you know, the turmoil that's just ahead is just not going to end well for the unsaved, you know, for the unbeliever. But for those who are abiding in Christ, hey, it's good news, because it's time, and it's showtime. It's definitely showtime.
What they're trying to do is steal your identity. In a time, an age where everyone's concerned about identity theft today, they're worried about, oh, their credit card may be stolen over online, or their driver's license might be stolen, and their social security number might be stolen. They're all concerned about their credit score, and you can hand all of this to Peter at the gate, and he's going to look at it like it's trash. You know, what does this mean? The real identity that's being stolen is their identity in Christ. They're just handing that over for a bowl of pottage. You know, basically, from a flesh perspective, there's four races in the world. There's red, yellow, black, and white. That's basically what it breaks down to. You take a black man, Is he going to go back 2,000 years and tell you what tribe he was from? No, it's not possible in Africa. They just can't do it. And neither can a person in China. Neither can a Caucasian go back 2,000 years and tell you, well, I was from actually from the Benjamites, or I was from Japheth. And, well, what part of you? 12% of you? 6% of you? 50% of you? All of these things, if you really lay them out on the table and start thinking about them, there is no proof other than you're black, white, yellow, or red. And that's all meaningless, too, because we're now down, as Christ said in the temple, either you're the father of the devil and the lusts of him you will do, or you're of the father Yahweh. That's the two spiritual races, Edom and Israel. And there really isn't, you know, all this other stuff is just convoluting and chasing your family tree back, or what are my family coat of arms, and you know, maybe you can go back a few hundred years, but what was lost during the Dark Ages? I mean, you're just kidding yourself to think, well, to say I'm a Jew, or I'm a Benjamite, or I'm a son of Japheth, or I'm a son of Ham. It's all ridiculous. And it's meaningless too. Christ's nation is spread out throughout the whole world. It's not a nation of borders. It's not a nation of flags. It's not a nation of skin. It's not a nation or skin color. It's not a nation of blood relationship. It's a spiritual. It's two spiritual bloodlines. It's the spiritual bloodline in Christ, and the spiritual bloodline in Satan. And that's all it boils down to.
And that takes care of the.
And once one understands this and gets this full grasp of this, then you're going to say, well, why am I going to go fight for this group of people, no matter where in the world, you know, that people are, and the Arabs are promoted by their evil leaders to promote them into to war and want to go kill other races of people, because they don't understand these two races, these two spiritual races neither, as well as the Christians don't understand them. You know, the Christians and the Arabs, you know, are it's a ping pong game, you know. Or you might say right now it's the Jews and the Arabs are in a ping pong game, and then they're using the Christians for the ball.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So why go fight for a kingdom of this world when Scripture plainly tells us that Satan controls all the kingdoms? He couldn't have offered all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time to Jesus when he was tempting him, because he does own all the kingdoms of the world.
Are you listening, you pre-rapture listeners? I hope you're understanding this very clearly, because this may change your mind. You may have understanding on this. Because when they say this is going to happen and that is going to happen, and it doesn't, are you prepared? Are you prepared for that day that you're not raptured? Remember what Jesus said, I pray that evil do not befall them in the time of tribulation. That's very important if you're in these fleshly doctrines, if you're not in the spiritual understanding. When the multitude was with, on the various places of the multitude, that's the people that came to him that were from all over. Jerusalem is a huge, thriving metropolis, trade center. And they came and heard from this man. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh was here. But the multitude always went. It was the apostles who came back and said, well, what's this mean? What are you saying here? On all the metaphors, they had questions. You are to learn on their teaching. So when you go through the scriptures and you see the multitude, be aware of that and look what happens to them. They go. Then the apostles come back. And the apostles ask the questions so they get clarity. It's the most important thing for our listeners to confirm what we're telling you. When we're telling you you're in the eye of the storm, I hope you believe it. When an ocean is destroyed and there's nothing living in it, it may be a period of time that you want to reflect, that you may want to get on the right side of the plumb line, and that's in Amos. And that's where he made it the Lord made it very clear to a man exactly what he expected of the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, speaking of the plumb line, you can start the whole plumb line out with flesh on the left side and spirit on the right side. And that's the confusion. We have three religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And for some reason, they're all in the flesh mindset that this little piece of real estate in the Middle East is the Holy Land.
Yeah, but we give them all every weapon. We give them every weapon. These churches are contributing to that physical entity to protect them. And they are stealing your identity in Christ. They are stealing your by the flesh. They are preventing you from walking in the Spirit.
That's what Esau, you know, gave up his birthright. And that's what, when we go and say another group of people other than God's chosen through Jesus Christ, through the seed of Abraham. Jesus was the last to have the seed of Abraham, and he plants that seeds in our heart. And now we're willing to give away that precious gift and say, no, these people over here, because the color of their skin makes them the chosen people, which is all New Age. This is all New Age. It came in 1880, start the movement. It took about 100 years to convince people of that. And now, from 1880 to 1980, now in the past 30 years, it's even progressed more. The real lesson to learn is there's Jerusalem below, which is basically the whole church, the whole Christian world is Jerusalem below. And Jerusalem above is that's his kingdom. That's the spiritual kingdom. As he says, my kingdom's not of this world. So if we're going to fight or want to belong to kingdoms of worlds, and dominionism fits into this very well also. We're just being deceived because it's taking you back to the flesh. That's the big thing that will direct you in the right direction is just stop and think, is this about the flesh or is this about the spirit? And
yeah, I would want to...
you can add to that there, Chris.
Oh, I would just want to encourage anybody with any curiosity that's been piqued to dig into the third day studies. I mean, Randy Moggins and Sue Patterson have just done a magnificent work. And, we've just recently posted all the archives. They're all available for you. And, if you're listening to this show on an MP3 apparatus, so you're obviously able to do that. But I would encourage you to just make that a part of your life. I walk around all day long with an MP3 in my pocket and a earphone in my ear, and I just crave it. I'm just learning from a depth of scripture teaching that I've been waiting my whole life for. And it's just, this is God, and God is just using vessels like, Sue and Randy and hopefully us, that we can communicate what we've learned. But there's just a wealth of knowledge. And as I say, the links are on the Threshing Floor website. And we've got the archives, the glossary of metaphors. My website is thirdgreatawakening.org, which is just a study guide. It's just a place to go to get it all, the prophecy, the documents, the New Age documents. Everything's there. Everything's there. It's just all this stuff is there. People today just are too busy to read and understand what's being done to them. And that's what we're here to do. We're just here to encourage you to research for yourself these matters and help you.
I want to finish off on that just in about a minute here, as far as the flesh. The whole design of this flesh is to lead the world into chaos, to take you into fighting an unjust war. You know, there was 50 to 60 million people killed in World War II. And I'm telling you, that's going to be play stuff compared to what they got planned for this one. If people want to buy in to this chosen people, and go defend the Holy Land, you know. And the Muslims think it's their Holy Land, the Christians believe it's their Holy Land, and the Jews think it's their Holy Land. And I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of millions could be killed in World War III. You know, with the technology that they had in 1945, like I said, they killed 50, 60 million. And they've killed probably 100 million since then just in these other wars, you know, around the world. And it's, you're just fighting for a bunch of front men bankers who were front men for the Masons, who were front men for the British Royal Crown, who were front men for the Vatican. You know,
the Vatican, just, yeah.
Each one's an empty suit. And when you go open the last door, you're going to find the one and only there, Satan.
Yeah, I had something for later, but I'm just going to interject it now. You know, there's the plan for three world wars out there on the internet, you know, in the conspiracy world. But it's just so whether it's authentic or not, but what it says, you can just see this all taking place right now. I was just going to read a sentence from it, and it says, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show cleverly to the nations the effects of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for a new ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. I mean, this is it. This is their doctrines that they're following. And what they're trying to do is cause confusion, like Bill said, chaos. And where we're headed here is in these churches that are making lies their refuge are going to end up confused and wandering aimlessly. There's going to be bloodshed, death, and tribulation that the world's never seen, and there's not going to be a rapture. So these pre-tribulation, dispensational, deceived people are going to be walking around going, what the heck? So, and that's what they're doing. They're causing this confusion to bring in the light of Lucifer, which is what this is all about, which is what the New Age is all about. And, you know, God's remnant is going to see through this and be martyred through this time. But this is where we're heading, and you can just see it, because that's where we're headed, the confusion that's on the horizon. I mean, things are still okay now, and the church doesn't realize the mess it's in. But
they don't realize the mess that they're in, and they're leading the flock into this beast. They've always got to have a false prophet to lead the flock into the beast. It's just it's an ageless thing that is foolproof.
But wait, buy his tape, buy his book. Don't read it in the Bible. You know, buy the new International Good Samaritan Bible.
Yeah.
You know, buy this, buy that. Don't read it for yourself. You
right.
couldn't do that. You couldn't find yourself approved in these times. It's woe unto them. Woe unto them that are doing this. Let them go before the Lord, because he's coming with wrath.
Was it you, Bob, that was mentioned to me earlier this week when we talked about the suicide rate being much higher in these conflicts?
In the military, the suicide rate is as high as it's ever been. They're sacrificing our children, our most adoring, loving children, the kids that you've seen in the neighborhood running around playing ball, the kids that you drop off at the carpool. I get upset because I see this, and I see such evil in it. These are truly serpents and scorpions manipulating the multitude and sacrificing their children. It's the greatest. I want to see their trial. I want to see them guilty. Yes, yes, Bill, that is confirmed. They're taking the young men and women, and they are putting them in situations where they have no God, and they are driven to insanity, and they kill themselves because they can't deal with reality.
Yeah, it's very, very sad.
Very sad. The playbook's over, gentlemen. I can't follow the show notes. Let's attack the churches. Chris,
we were going to be able to do one or the other tonight, but yeah, I could sure go on this.
Let's tread on some serpents and scorpions and show the audience that, hey, this is the truth we're telling you about your 501c copyrighted church that's leading you to a death sentence. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, we're going to take a look at the, I'm trying to dissect some of the movements that are on the forefront today. And last week we took a look at the NAR movement with, Randy's help, because Randy came out of that that system, and I really appreciated his comments last week. And this week we're going to take a look at the, I'll call it the purpose-driven movement, just because that's the most predominant tributary of this web of deception. But I'm not going to say dear to my heart, but it hits home with me because this is what I came out of. I was a part of the seeker-friendly movement for 20 years, and the frog in the pot boiling, and I just thank the Lord He woke me up to it. It was a little more than a year and a half ago that I woke up to what was taking place, waiting for.
Okay.
In one and two and three.
And we're going to continue on with the Matthew 24 study that we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. Bill, we're going to start with Luke 21.
Yes.
Do you want to expand a little bit and rewrap the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, we can do that. Like I said, this is the Olivet Discourse. It's found in Luke chapter 21, and Matthew chapter 24 is the primary one, and also in Mark 13. And we kind of cover all of them so we get a broader perspective. And Jesus is speaking of the two parallel timelines here, the destruction of Israel, the church then, and the destruction or tribulation that becomes upon the church in the end of the world. And right now we're ready to cover Luke chapter 21, and if you want to lead into that, Bob.
Luke chapter 21, verse 18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls.
Okay. Your patience is a real good study to do in Scripture. If somebody can just click on patience and go read through it through the Scripture, so much is evolved around your patience. Sarah needed patience in waiting for the Lord for Isaac to be born, and it's just an excellent study, and it's referenced as I will wait in Micah chapter 7:7. So, in our patience in the Lord is where our souls are resting. And if you'll read Micah chapter 7 verses 7 and 8 also now, Bob.
Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait. For the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
So
continue on with James 1 through 4?
Yeah, you can go do that too, yes.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou castest not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world.
Thank you. So having tried the spirits, as he says in John 1 John 4, there's going to be many false prophets out there, and how you test them is you line them up with Scripture, you line them up with the Holy Spirit, you line them up with God, what God is revealing to you in your prayer. And we need to test these spirits, because they're going to throw every false doctrine they can possibly imagine at you. And it's through our patience and Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us leading us to truth that we're going to get through this. And Jesus says he have kept the patience. He keeps you, and you keep him, and he's going to keep you. So patience is a big study, and I recommend anybody go into scriptures and just punch up patience. And when you come to a verse, you know, back up a few verses to get the overview of the scripture that they're speaking of there, and how the patience applies in what he's speaking of. But it's so much of it centered around our patience. And our faith, you know, faith is patience that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And I know full well that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. How he's going to do it on these things, well, those are mysteries sometimes of God. But I know that he's going to fulfill his word. Okay, if you want to pick up Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, Bob.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Oh, boy, is that true.
Yes, and here was just a second warning now that we're going to get in here in this Olivet Discourse. There's going to be three warnings, so it must be pretty important to warn us three times. And even in the falling away, which Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians, the first thing that Paul says there in 2 Thessalonians, make sure that we're not deceived. For their first will come a falling away.
Do you believe that we're in that time period of the falling away, and that the people are under delusion?
Well, I think that the falling away has been maybe since the first century. Then it seems to me where there'll be times where it'll be gathered together a little bit. You know, there's always men of truth that come along, and, you know, such as Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and they seem to gather things up a little bit and get them back on the right track. And then the falling away, you know, it recapitulates over a long, long period of time. I see the last falling away in modern times on a large scale is really starting around 1840. That's where I see the church has started really becoming polluted. And the mingling of Freemasonry, you can call Freemasonry Edom. I mean, that's basically who they are, Edom.
Uh-huh.
They're the serpents, the scorpions. They're the other nation in Rebecca's womb. And they totally perverted Christianity in the 19th century. But, you know, these things take time for them to, you know, generations of lies before the people started accepting the lies, you know, such as the rapture. They couldn't, you know, probably in 1920, how many people believed in the rapture? Probably not that many, even though they started teaching it in 1880. And now as it's recapitulating faster, I think now we may possibly have reached the post-Christian era. Now we're in the post-Christian era.
I agree with that.
the falling away has occurred. The falling away has already recurred. Are we going to see more levels of apostasy? Yeah, I guess so. But basically, for all intents and purposes, the church has gone bad. The leaven that was injected into the loaf, into the three measures of meal, I mean, that thing is puffed up and ready to come out of the oven. So I just don't see any truth in the church system. I don't see any truth in religion. I think the calling out is to call you out of her so you don't partake of her plagues, as it says in Revelations, because judgment is coming down upon the house of God before anything, as Peter tells us.
Bill, can you clarify for the listener? Her. Why her?
Her?
Why come out of her, and what does her mean? If someone is new to understanding these metaphors, and they've been twisted and turned, and in their mind they're thinking leaven's a good thing, tell us why to come out of her and who her is, so that they can completely understand why they need to come out of these churches.
Okay. I'll address the leaven really quickly. I think leaven, I don't know, I searched it once, it's 75 times in Scripture. 74 times, it's it's not anything good. I believe one time in Scripture, maybe you could read it as possibly being read as something good. I think it was in the Book of Kings. But overall, leaven, all throughout Scripture, Paul calls it puffed up in the New Testament on... It's nothing good. So how the church ministry could turn leaven into something good is beyond my comprehension. But her is referred all over the Old Testament is the harlot. You punch in harlot in the Old Testament, you're going to find out that the harlot's Israel. It's hundreds of times all through Scripture. It's when Israel turns to another god. It's, you know, turns away from Yahweh and... they forsake in the fountains of living waters and hewn out cisterns that hold no water. And you punch in harlot all through the Old Testament. It's the church turning their back on God. Well, in the New Testament, they use the word woman. For instance, the woman who hid in leaven into the three measures. The woman is the identity of the church. The woman in the wilderness that gives birth to the wild child. And her is just an identity, you know, it's obviously an identity of the church to me. It's just, do you have any comments to make there, Chris?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the metaphor for Babylon, the harlot, it's the woman, you know, and the woman. And the woman is the church, good and bad, true and apostate. And the metaphor is the woman in the wilderness. Well, hello, that's us, I would say. And this is the Wilderness Church, and we're calling people to the wilderness, to stand in the holy place, to pray that you are counted worthy to escape these things. I mean, you know, we'll see that later on in the study of the Olivet Discord, but this is what this is talking about, folks. And, you know, when the light bulb went out for me, when this thing all clicked, because I've been reading these scriptures for 30 years. And, of course, we all thought that the harlot was the Roman Catholic Church or whatever, but it just dawned on me, oh, my gosh, it's the whole thing. It's the whole apostate mess because there is no truth in the church, in the corporate.
My people come out of her. You know, in that verse in Revelations, I believe it might be 18:4, but I'm not sure. My people come out of her. So he's calling his people out.
His remnant. He's calling his remnant out. He's calling Israel out.
He's calling
Israel out of Israel, because all of Israel is not Israel.
Right.
He's calling the remnant of Israel out of Israel is what he's doing.
The ones that hear his voice, the called, and then they're chosen, and then they're faithful. And he's giving the calling to come out of her, to not be takers of her plagues. So, it's in my mind, it's no, the identification of her is obviously, it's always been the church, the Old and New Testament.
And as blatant as this stuff is, I mean, what sits out in front of the...
It's Jezebel.
the European Union headquarters in Brussels is a statue of the woman riding the beast. I mean, this stuff is in our faces, you know?
Right. It's the dog marking their turf, right? They got to rub it in your face.
And you know, God has just made this stuff so simple to those who have eyes. And what did we go over last week? This Lance Wallnew and the Seven Mountains theology that Lauren Cunningham and Bill Bright came up with. I mean, what's on Seven Mountains? The harlot. I mean, goodness gracious. It's just so unbelievable that the discernment in the churches, this stuff gets past them. I can't believe it. I just literally cannot believe it. But it does, because they're just, because they love not the truth. Right, Bill?
Yes.
For this reason, God will turn them over to a strong delusion. And that's the key. We have to love the truth. When you love the truth, all this stuff makes sense. And then you see that God is preparing a people for himself for eternity. That's
right, the scales fall off your eyes. You know, in this Matthew 24:11 here, we see the word many twice. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And, you know, the Christian church seems to have a really misunderstanding of the word few and many. And few and many is all over Scripture. The road is narrow and straight, and few that find it, and the broad road to destruction, and many that go there. I mean, few, many. And yet the Christian, especially the prosperity gospel, they flip-flop the few, many.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a big crowd. We just come enjoy, have our lattes and a few prayer hugs, and we're all going to be joined in the wedding supper. And it's just, that's not what Scripture says. You know, few is few and many is many. I relate few is to the one third led through the fire, and I relate many is the two parts cut off.
Yeah.
And so
the big thing they don't realize is the entire amount of people being communicated there is the church. All the few and the many comprise the church.
It applies to the church strictly. This is all application to the church. It says many false prophets shall rise. So that means many. So the true prophets are going to be few. And it says it shall deceive many. So the ones that deceived are going to be few. The ones who were not deceived are going to be the few. So this
and
is
Bill,
overall, basically, that most people are going to be deceived.
Why the wilderness? Why come out into the wilderness? That's what everybody needs to realize. Why you are in a church system, you're in a beast system, you're following a false prophet that's telling you to buy his tapes or buy this thing or donate to this war or do this. Why come out into the wilderness? Why did Jesus say come out of her? Anybody?
Well, Moses led them out of her.
When Moses was up on the mount with the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments, the people were making a golden calf. They were in idol worship. In less than the time it took him to climb the mount. There's no difference in our time. There is absolutely no difference.
Oh, the parallels are identical.
And Paul tells us these things will all repeat for examples.
These were examples for the time of the end.
So if you're in church, and here's a new one for you, you're building and donating to that idol worship of the calf, the golden calf. And your priest, who was Moses' brother, is doing this while Moses is talking to the Lord. It doesn't get much simpler than that as far as identifications, does it?
That's right. And Moses was the deliverer, you know, at that time. He was now Christ is our deliverer. We are to come out into the wilderness in Christ. It's a spiritual wilderness. And we're to stand ready to follow him wherever he leads us.
You know, we're not to pick up a sword and do anything. We are to stand. We are to stand until we are directed by the Holy Spirit to do his will in his service.
And the problem is that the people in the system are so afraid of not being a part of the hive. and that's the problem. You know, Satan has convinced them that they must be a part of this group to be safe, which is the absolute contrary to the
truth.
It's
the mentality of Genesis chapter 11. It's the exact same mentality. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered.
Yeah.
It's just huge. That's the thinking process of man.
And this stuff all repeats in Scripture over and over, and you just see it. And once you pick up on it, you know exactly what's going on. You see through it. You can see through it. You know, you can cut through it like a knife. It's just once you pick up on it. But when you're blinded, you're just living and thinking that the prosperity of the church is God's blessing, and you know, we're in need of nothing. And like, there's a book out right now. I don't know. I think it's old. I just saw it advertised. The name of the book is "Heaven or Hell Empty, Heaven Full." I mean, that's a great idea. It sounds nice, but it's like,
yes,
where
it
did
is.
They get that? That is not in the Bible. It's not in my Bible, and it's just, this is absurd. And they're still selling these books.
What is the first thing Jesus did? Is started calling people out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he went to Peter and called him out. He went to Simon Levi, the tax collector. He just dropped what he was doing and was called out to follow Christ. And it's no different now. And he didn't go into the church system and try to reconstruct the church system. I mean, he brought the truth. Hope, you know, yeah, they had an opportunity to accept the truth. Obviously, he knew that he was going to be rejected. But he's not going to go in there and conform with them and dialect with them and see if they can sit down and work out a way that that system can keep on going forward. He had no intentions of that. His intentions were, follow me. Like you talked about the rich young ruler. You put it very well there last week.
Yeah, and, that's a key principle, because the church doesn't let the rich young ruler walk away. The church conforms to the rich young ruler.
Right.
That's what happened. That's what happened. And that's why the falling away, I mean, I'm under the full impression that the great falling away has already happened. I can't imagine it getting much worse. Because I was going to talk about this, earlier, but, we're going to save it for next week. We're going to take a look at the purpose-driven movement. But, we obviously went off on some other topics, and that's great, because we're free to do that. But one thing I was going to mention in this study was the lost doctrine. And this is the problem. The lost doctrine in the church today is conversion. These churches are full of unsaved people. They're full of unregenerate people. And that's the problem. You know, they tolerate sin, basically. The church today is okay with sin. And that's what's wrong. And, sin blinds. And, it keeps people from the truth. And I know in my life, full well, I saw multitudes of people with no fruits of regeneration. And that's a red flag, and it's a problem. But there's good news, because God's going to redeem it.
Yes, that's true. If they could just learn the simplicity of Psalms chapter 23, like you pointed out to me, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Boy, that would just put every church out of business.
Right.
First of all, the Lord's not their shepherd. They've forsaken the fountains of living water, and they're full of wants. They're hewn out cisterns.
They're full of entitlements, because they're entitled. Because they've been ingrained by the social system, is ingrained to them what they're entitled to. They're entitled to self-esteem and happiness, and that's important. But, happiness is the God. That's what I see. That's my observation.
Bill, we're gonna continue with verse 12.
Yeah, 12 and 13.
This is important, and then we can make a wrap on this week.
Okay.
And then I'd like to wrap up the show a little bit better than we have in the past 3 weeks. We're still getting our chops, but I think it's important that we get some last comments. Some edification for the listener, so that we can direct them to learn these truths. So I'll start with Matthew 24, verse 12. And because of the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Ooh.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we see this in word dur here, which is revolved around patience also. It's the overcomers. He that endures are the overcomers, the ones who are called, chosen, and faithful. Those that overcometh the world through endurance in Christ. And it says here that the iniquity shall abound, or because iniquity shall abound, that's the turning away from God, the love of many shall wax cold. So here we have that word many again.
Yeah.
He's talking about a larger group. It's not the prosperity gospel of zero in hell and all in heaven. And if you'll pick there, read Revelation 17 and Matthew 10, we'll see it also, Bob.
One second, Bill.
Sure.
Reading ahead. Revelation
17:14 and Matthew 10:20.
He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are with him, are called and chosen and faithful, endureth.
Yeah, that's the endureth. The called, chosen, and faithful, that's the three-part formula.
Well, you know, there it is again.
Everybody gets called. Many are called, few are chosen, and in the enduring is the ones that are faithful, the overcomers that endure through the end.
And, what a huge piece of scripture that is.
It is very huge. And in Matthew 10:22, we have, and he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 13:7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. So it's all about enduring to the end in Christ. And thou hast has the little strength, has kept my word. And is not it's in Revelation chapter 3. Thou hast a little strength, kept me, and not denied my name. And it's there right there. And it's enduring to the end. And we're going to hold to Jesus to the very end, no matter how bad this thing gets. Because what's here is a dung heap compared to what the Lord has for us.
Matters of the flesh.
And what you were just talking about, is that's the Church of Thyatira, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And I would just encourage anybody listening, jump on the archives, the Third Day Archives, and go to the Seven Churches study. It is spectacular, truth there. And, yeah, and you know, because what you see there in the Seven Churches, the Seven Churches are the multitude. And you know, you see a direct correlation between Jonah and, you know, the two witnesses are in Jonah. And it's just spectacular. And I would just encourage anybody to go grab that I think it's about a 10-part study. And Sue and Randy just put in so much work, and it's at the point in the studies when it's, you know, they've really got things pretty well figured out. And it's just awesome. So I would just encourage anybody to do that, because that's what I'm listening to right now. And I'm just beside myself.
Those are all excellent. That is a very excellent one, yes.
I had a verse, you know, tonight I was going to say, but he answered unto them and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And that, you know, that's what that's talking about, what I just said. You know, the correlation between Jonah and the seven churches, and you know, and what we're talking about, the truth that we're sharing, the secret, the metaphoric language. This is the sign God has given us, and these crazy manifestations that are out there, that has every Tom, Dick, and Harry chasing after, you know, whatever. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. So. You know, that's what I encourage you to stay in the spiritual, and because that's what matters. That's what's going to affect our lives, is where we are in the spiritual in these times.
Bob?
Yes.
I want I want to finish off with James 1:12, and I've also added in Revelations 3:11. I'll just go ahead and read them. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So we have here, we have this word endureth again. This is your patience. This is your overcoming. This is your testing period where we have to try the spirits and stay in the truth. For when he is tried, so we're going to be tried. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be tried. Remember, Jesus says, I pray that you not take them out of the world, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane. So there's kind of, that's kind of telling you there's no rapture right there. So it says, for when he is tried, so we're going to be tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast, which thou hast. So you have this crown of life because you have endured and you have overcome and you have stayed in the truth in Jesus Christ. And he says, let no man take thy crown. And they're going to do everything they can do to take your crown.
Yeah.
They're full of jealousy. They're full of deceit. Satan wants to climb back and inherit the kingdom of God. And his serpents and scorpions are going to try to take your crown away from you. And I'd like to end it there.
Very good, very good. Let's do a wrap up, Chris. Anything on your heart?
Well, I'm just thrilled. I'm just thrilled to where things are going, and I can't imagine any better way to invest your time into these than into these studies, and prepare for what's ahead, because these are the tools that are going to get you through these perilous times that are ahead. But in the wilderness, there is protection, and it's all God. There's nothing wrong with having some food in the basement and, you know, some cash on hand, whatever. But, our refuge is in the Lord, and that's where I'm putting my hope.
Bill? Yes, that's a very good message there. We're to be prepared. We use common sense. God gave us common sense to use. But the real safety is in him and in the truth. And the more that we're in the truth, the more that we follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, the more he is going to provide and direct us how to do these things in the physical. He's going to show us, well, maybe you need this here. Maybe you need that over here. I'm going to move you and position you here right now, and I need you over here. And so he will provide, just like he provided the manna in the desert when Moses was out there with them, and he was their deliverer then, and he'll provide again. You know, he'll provide with the spiritual manna, the knowledge, and he'll always give you a way.
Awesome.
Awesome. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Put your keys down. Leave your shoes off. Study the scriptures. Don't go out the door. Spend time with Jesus in his Sabbath rest. Don't believe anything you're hearing in the churches. Don't be afraid. You're the Lord. The Lord is telling you this. We are just trying to convey the truth to you. Woe unto us if we don't tell you the truth. These are things that we see. We're just the Joe Lunchbox crew. God bless you. Have a good night.
Sun's up. Looks okay. The world survives into another day. I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. About the lions at the door, they weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me.
I got my mind on eternity.